that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Four people are having a baby. Because of a mix-up at the fertility clinic, the embryo of a politically liberal woman has been accidentally implanted into a politically conservative woman. And the two women and their husbands must deal with the situation. That's the premise of Human Error, the world premiere comedy now in its final weekend at Chico's Blue Room Theater. Today we talk with the director and members of the cast. The Chico Art Center just built a mysterious contraption. They call it a replication machine. Starting today, you can use the machine. You put an object of your choice into the box on one side of the machine, and in 20 minutes, the machine, with the help of a hidden local artist, produces an artistic version of your object. We'll hear all about it from two representatives from the Chico Art Center. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading tonight, as part of the indoor concert series from the Oak Song Society, Scottish-born music icon David Francy, known as one of Canada's most revered folk poets and singers, Francy performs at the Pilgrim Congregational Church starting at 8 o'clock. The Orland Art Center opens its latest exhibit, March Musings. Five artists, with a diversity of styles and techniques, show their works. Meet all five artists in a reception going on now at the center until 7. In Chico, at the University's Wismer Theater, Really, Really, a contemporary comic tragedy about the life of millennials. Only four more performances of this play, tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, or you can catch one of the 2 o'clock matinees tomorrow or Sunday. Chico Theatre Company opens its latest production, Neil Simon's hit comedy, The Odd Couple. The laughter starts tonight at 7:30. The show returns tomorrow at 7:30 and plays Sunday at 2. Chico's Inspire School of Arts and Sciences presents the musical Into the Woods, Stephen Sondheim's mashup of several famous fairy tales. See this show at one of its final performances tonight or tomorrow starting at 7 o'clock or Sunday at 2 o'clock. Go into the woods at the Chico Center for the Arts on the edge of the Pleasant Valley High campus. At 1078 Gallery in Chico, Michael Stevenson presents Out Loud, a multifaceted event showcasing his paintings, prints, music, and theater performances. Hours for 1078, Thursday through Saturday, 12:30 to 5:30. Sunday afternoon at Chico State's Zing Recital Hall, the Enso String Quartet. This internationally recognized group will be playing pieces by Puccini, Ravel, and more, starting at 2 o'clock. Then Wednesday at the Zing Recital Hall, Italian guitar master Giacomo Fiore. He'll present an eclectic program of both new and classical pieces starting at 7:30. At Sierra Nevada's Big Room on Wednesday evening, the Wood Brothers present their uniquely soulful approach to roots and Americana music starting at 7:30. Thursday evening at Chico State's Roland Taylor Recital Hall, new music by student composers. The university's very own composition students and musicians show off their stuff starting at 7:30. In Oroville, the opening of the play A Doll's House at the Birdcage Theater has been postponed until a week from tonight, March 10th. The Center for the Arts in Grass Valley stages the popular Gilbert and Sullivan operetta HMS Pinafore. This shipful of songs and laughter sets sail at 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, and has an afternoon voyage tomorrow and Sunday starting at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Today our birthday boy is NPR's Ira Glass. The creator of This American Life says, "I think good radio often uses the techniques of fiction, characters, scenes, a big, urgent, emotional question, and, as in the best fiction, tone counts for a lot."
I'm here at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, and we are talking about their present production, which has only two more performances at place tonight and tomorrow night. And it's a comedy. It's a world premiere comedy that has never been performed before. It's called Human Error. We'll talk to the director first. This is Aaron Tarabini. Tell us how the Blue Room Theater happened to be the first theater to ever have a production of this play.
It's been workshopped and it's been presented at several playwright events and readings by the playwright, Eric Pfeffinger. He actually is a friend of the theater. So it was passed along to the powers that be here at the Blue Room. It was read over and we enjoyed it. It kind of worked its way up from there.
Well, for our audience, give a capsule version of what this play is about.
The storyline is two couples who have, not by their own fault, a mix-up in their embryo implantation. A more conservative couple and a more liberal couple, they find out that their embryo was implanted mistakenly in the wrong couple. And so it's sort of the fallout from that and how they get through dealing with that mistake.
This play, it's very funny. But it's also very topical. It's about how there's this divide of viewpoints in our country, and will people ever actually see each other? Did you feel how topical this was as you were working on it?
We definitely did. And I think when the playwright was writing it, too, I think he had sort of the election season in mind. It was at the start of the election season. But the Midwest setting and those red states and that whole environment, I think he really understood that and knew that it would, you know, push a few buttons, that kind of thing. I know for us, I first started reading it, of course, before the election. So I will be honest and say I had a different idea of how I would be thinking about this show on this end of things. But obviously, things worked out how they did. And I think almost even more so has been topical and relevant to what some people are probably struggling today with, both their friends and family and strangers and the internet and the whole thing.
When we're talking about these issues and everything, it may sound like a very serious play, but it's so funny all the way through. What makes the comedy work so well in this play, do you think?
It has more than a bit of the ridiculous at times. The writer, he even says that he kind of thought, what would the Marx Brothers do? It has that sort of slapstick, over the top, uncomfortable but hilarious comedy. And so even though it's some serious subjects and some more moving moments, you still have the ridiculous overall.
Aaron, why don't you describe what audience members will go through and what they'll enjoy about going to this play, since people have two more chances to see it?
There's a little bit of every character either in you or in your life. You know, while you may not identify exactly with one or the other of the characters or the couples, there are aspects to all of them that either you'll identify with, or you're going to look at them and be like, that's that one uncle from Thanksgiving, or that's that coworker that I have, or something like that. I think the audience will be surprised. I know for me, I was a little bit surprised on some of the parts of different characters that I ended up identifying with that maybe I wouldn't have thought that way on paper. You know, parents, I think, or anybody who is or has been a parent will, I think, particularly enjoy some aspects of it. There's definitely the humor in having a child and some of the unexpected things that come along with that.
We have here Annie Fisher, who plays the part of Madeline, I'll say, first of all, that you're the one whose biological child this is, so you believe. You have that surprise of having a doctor tell you somebody else has been implanted with your embryo. So describe your character.
Madeline would be the kind of classic liberal sort of woman. She's very educated. She isn't very religious. She is pretty judgmental of those who aren't so open-minded, considers herself to be very progressive. She's very strong and tough, but at the same time, she definitely has, she's got a softer side. I think she learns a lot about herself throughout the course of the show.
What did you discover about the character or about yourself as you went on building this character?
I've got a lot of friends on all sides of the political spectrum, but, you know, I think Madeline really comes to discover that not everybody fits like a certain box. Not everybody is a certain, like, she doesn't want to be stereotyped herself, but at the same time, she, at the beginning of the show, definitely relies heavily on stereotypes herself. So I think she definitely comes to terms with understanding that people are more than just a view on an issue, that there's more depth behind them and it's not so black and white.
It seems like your character, almost in spite of herself, discovered things and changed her mind about things, and she was really reluctant to do that.
She definitely fights pretty hard to stay her own way and stay her own path, but the depth and the openness of the other characters and like the closeness that they kind of had to create because of their very delicate situation definitely forced her to become more open-minded and see who these people really are.
We now have Delisa Freistadt, and she plays the character of Heather, who is the one that actually has to go through the pregnancy. Delisa, I'm assuming the political headspace of your character is a bit different from Delisa's headspace. How did you get into embodying this character in a truthful way?
I just tried to play her as a person, and just like who she is and what she believes is just part of her, and not try to throw any kind of caricature on it. It has to come from a very honest place of she is a wife and a mother. That's just who she is. And the politics for her probably comes secondary. Like, she's not thinking politically most of the time. She's just thinking about what's good for her family. And I tried to approach it that way, personally rather than politically.
But as the play went on, you were the most truthful and straightforward character. And that surprised me. Did that surprise you when you were first building this?
Definitely. I loved that Heather is the one who is more open to trying new things and trying to make that connection with the other couple and wanting to spend time with them and get to know them.
I was surprised and intrigued by the element of the play where it started discussing comedy. Madeline's character's husband talked about that, but I think it got the audience, like me, thinking about what's funny, why does it work, and is it basically political or is it somehow non-political communal? Describe your experience of this as a performer in the aspect of it being a comedy for a diverse audience.
I like that Eric Pfeffinger does try to throw that in there to make people think about comedy and not just like accept it. Oh, this is funny, but why is this funny? Like, am I laughing at someone or am I laughing with someone? And that's something you hear a lot, like, oh, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you. But is there necessarily a difference between the two? And can you tell when that's happening? And as a performer, I don't necessarily think about it, but then the audience laughs and you're like, well, why are they laughing at that? And it is fairly common to do a show and do it so much that any initial comedy you might have thought was there just disappears throughout the rehearsal process, and then people laugh at it and you're like, oh yeah, this is a funny show.
Now we're talking to Dave Myers. He plays Keenan, the liberal husband. And you're the one character that has a job where you analyze comedy. How can a play be both genuinely funny but also raise issues?
Well, I think Human Error is a good example of doing just that. You're taking, you know, stereotypes which can be offending to people, and we're kind of making, as I say in the play, character representation of those particular stereotypes. And you kind of have to take them, you know, to the extreme to make them funny, to make them almost unbelievable in a way. But there's just an air of truth. A lot of comedy has an air of truth. It's just, you know, taken to the extreme. I think this play does a really good job at doing that.
I'm at the Blue Room Theater. We've been talking with the director and cast of Human Error. That's the play that's on stage. You can go tonight at 7:30 or tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Blue Room Theater in downtown Chico. If they say why, tell them that it's human nature. Why, does it do it that way? If they say why, tell them that it's human nature. Why, does it do it that way? If they say why, tell them that it's human.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with Max Infeld, artist, printmaker, and the creator of magic, the creator of a replicating machine. I'm also speaking with Cameron Kelly, who is the director of the gallery at Chico Art Center, responsible for helping with the magic.
I am so thrilled to invite one and all to please come to the Chico Art Center. During the month of March, we're having this exhibition, The Replication Machine, and it is designed to be mysterious, to bring you in with questions. Please bring an object, something you would like to have replicated. I say that in quotation marks because you might be thinking about what does it mean to copy something. And if you come and engage in this project, you might have some answers.
Max, tell us a little bit about your background and how this idea came to you.
We did this 10 years ago at Chico State when I was studying in the Bachelor of Fine Arts program. I got involved in conceptual work like this. I became more interested in making art, starting with the idea first, and then finding the tools necessary to complete the idea. From there, I became much more involved in using the art club as a venue. We got the BFA and MFA students together to be replication masters, to make copies for people.
Cameron, you were telling me about one such copy that really caught your fancy.
One of the days, you know, while I was at work at Chico State in the art department, I was waiting for a form, and the office administrator was telling me about her most favorite show since she's worked there, probably 15 plus years. I was very intent to know what was this show, and she said, oh, it's The Replication Machine. She deposited her toaster into this hole in the gallery between the stairs and the office, this box that you would make a deposit. she lit up when she told me, you know, just turn around. There it is. Just behind was this object, this enchanting, charming, sort of slumpy. It looked like a three-dimensional Wayne Thiebaud. It was very expressive. It had foam. It had tape. It had thread. It had knobs. It had holes and openings. It was very captivating. I really enjoyed looking at it. So I thought about that show. I've been thinking about it for probably 2 or 3 years now. And when I was hired at Chico Art Center, I thought, oh, this would be fantastic. I wonder if Max is willing to have another variation of this show.
Well, Max, take us through the steps of replicating something. I'm walking into the Chico Art Center with a light bulb.
All right. As a visitor, you're submitting a light bulb to be replicated. You will speak to our attendant and say, hey, I brought this light bulb in. The attendant will assist you with the correct paperwork necessary to submit this into the replication room. From there, you guys will put it into a box. You'll wait 20 minutes and then you'll receive a copy. Upon receiving your copy, you'll also get a special claim slip to come and pick up your replication at the reception.
Are there some size limitations for the objects?
2 foot by 2 foot. So anything that cannot fit into a box to go into the replication room, I don't think we'll be able to accept it.
Well, I have the impression that there's a Santa's workshop with all kinds of materials somewhere hidden in the Chico Art Center, but you don't see the elves.
That's exactly right. I think one of the mysteries is who's making your, you know, who is behind that wall? It might be an artist that you are very familiar with. Or it might be someone you've never been aware of up until now. The other thing is that this limitation, this 20-minute constraint that the artist is working under, really transforms and changes the way that they think about making this object. So even if you know the artist and you know their style, we might be surprised with what ends up coming out.
And I understand that there's quite a lot of variety. It could be a drawing, it could be a sculpture, could be a weaving.
We've even talked about possibly getting some video projects. Yeah, I mean, who knows what the artists are going to want to replicate with this project.
How much control do you have over this experience, Max?
I'm trying not to control. I'm trying to more liberate the process of making these replications.
Are your students excited about it? And are any of them participating?
I do have some former students that are participating. I currently haven't invited any existing students. So ones that I know pretty well that are very consistent and reliable, I've invited.
This brings up quite a number of questions, such as what makes something original, Cameron?
So many levels of value. It has social value. You can disseminate information quickly and far and wide. But it also, for me, brings up questions of authorship. What is an original? What is the essence of something if you're trying to communicate what something is? Do you have to represent all elements of it, or are there just parts that can be just enough to communicate what that thing is?
Max, do you see yourself as a kind of stage director in this project?
Yes, I do. My job is to be more of an organizer and not necessarily have my name across the flyer, but it's more of like in the footnotes. It's a different way of creating artwork.
It seems to have a very strong educational component.
This definitely makes art accessible to a wider audience of people. Bridges a lot of gaps between traditional art and contemporary art. A lot of people who would not normally go to an art show may come to this. Getting that real quick feedback when making objects will benefit the artist as well.
What are your thoughts, Cameron?
We're already having questions before you walk in. If you see the poster or the postcard, you read replication machine and you really don't know what it is. What is the machine? And you already have sort of preconceived notions about how you relate to a machine. So before you even walk in the door, there's by design questioning of what something is, and also sort of questioning of yourself. I've been fielding a lot of questions from the public and also hearing feedback about their relationship just to what a machine is, fears about what a machine is. It's been really interesting to break down those notions of this is what I understand a machine to be. And oh, you mean artists are what fuel this machine. This really is a truly interactive exhibition. And the more I think about that, the more I get excited about 30 plus artists that live in Chico and make art that may not have met the 100 or 300 people that are going to be coming through Chico Art Center. And they may already know each other. And even if they do, they'll be knowing each other in a whole new way. There's going to be some, by design, thanks to Max, ways that you will be able to observe behind the machine. I'm really looking forward to the circulation, not only of the objects, but the stories that people are going to have after they participate.
It's interesting that the reception is not the first day of the show. It's the last day.
We're having a closing reception because on the last day of the exhibition, March 31st, which is a Friday, during the reception from 5 to 7, we invite all of the participants, all of the visitors, to come back and pick up their replication. They will have already seen their replication because when you come in, you will have 20 minutes to wait for your replication. You will see it, but it will stay on exhibition throughout the month of March. You will come to the reception at the end and pick up your work.
And where is the Chico Art Center?
In the Amtrak train station, 450 Orange Street, between 4th and 5th Street, just behind Great Northern Coffee. You can come in Monday through Friday from 12 until 4. We'll also have extended hours Friday nights from 4 until 7. You can also come in on the weekends from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. We're open every day and we would love to have you.
That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.